Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Stand by. And today we're bringing you some new ideas. Things to think about, you know, things that people ask us questions about. Primary question we have has to do with your life as you see it, you know. You struggle, you get through life, you work very hard to get through. Sometimes it seems like the struggle is endless. Where does it stop? The same trap over and over again, you know. For some people, it's trusting people who disappoint you. For other people, it's trying to make money and develop money and endless schemes to try to make yourself secure. Why do patterns repeat themselves in such a way that you just always seem to wind up in the same place? You're a good person. Why can't people just love you the way you are? Why can't people just respect you the way you are? Why can't you get fairness and respect? These are questions that people ask themselves when they get frustrated and tired, lonely. There's always a debate, you know. There's one question is about maybe you're just born wrong. Maybe something just happened. Maybe you're just missing certain genetic or materials inside you that mean you're just born to suffer. You ever get that feeling? I have a jelly bean theory. My jelly bean theory is that, here's my image. Never told you this, Stephanie. Jelly beans. When you are born, there is a conveyor belt. And whoever's in charge of developing, of leaving out what happens to you, or who puts everything in the design of whatever you are, they have this conveyor belt, and there are different colored jelly beans. They'll give you some green jelly beans, which represent envy and jealousy. You get a couple of those, and they give you white jelly beans, which represents purity and vanity, you know, purity and innocence. Some black jelly beans, which means your dark moods. And red jelly beans, which means your sexual self, you know, and these are not really true, of course. But in my idea, sometimes people get more of the miserable jelly beans, the black ones, even though they may taste good, than they do the other jelly beans. So I used to go around with my friend Bill, and we would walk through and see people who were just acting funny, and we'd say they got more than their portion. And that was our expression. And what it meant was they got more than their portion of the wrong jelly beans. Now, this sounds silly for a shrink to be describing life in terms of jelly beans. Why are you more angry than everybody else? Why are you more the victim than everybody else? Why are you more jealous than everybody else? Why are you exceptionally insecure? Jelly beans. Jelly beans on the conveyor belt before you're born. They had too many. Maybe the designer, whoever he was drunk, maybe he wasn't paying attention, maybe he was tired, maybe he was overlooking at the other jelly bean person on the other conveyor line, you know. Whatever it was, you got more than your portion, your unfair balance. In fact, it's funny, we call people who act funny unbalanced. Maybe it's about the jelly beans. Well, I'll drop that silliness for you and take you on a further drive. Is it possible that it is all nature that determines your personality? Is it all built into your genes? Is it all your chemistry? A lot of people who are real chemists and scientists, they say that's it. You have an amygdala, you have neurotransmitters, you have hormones. That determines everything. And they look at you like you're, if you go in and you say, gee, I feel so angry, they say, well, you've got too much of this chemical. Too much cortisol. What we have to do is give you an anti-cortisol drug. That's the way they see you. You go to a doctor and you say, I'm feeling nervous. He says, well, I'll give you a tranquilizer to calm you down. We see you as some kind of a chemical package walking around, and that's all there is to people. Is nature all it's about, the way your chemistry is? Does that determine who you pick, who you love, and how you live? Well, there's another theory, which is about nurture, which says not that one is nature, the other is nurture. The nurture theory is that everything that you manifest as an adult is a result of an early childhood experience. That with a few exceptions, no matter how you're born, whatever happened to you as a kid shaped the way you are going to be in the future. And there's really good arguments for that. I mean, if you take a look at anybody who's very distrustful, where they don't trust people, you'll find that they had a damaged childhood. You'll find that there were people there in their background that made them never feel safe. And so you didn't get the safety of an early nurturance, a real nurturance, and you didn't feel safe as a kid. You grow up, you don't feel safe. If you never were really loved by a parent, how are you going to learn how to love? If you had two parents who were always fighting each other, how are you ever going to learn what relationship is like? If you were trained to never trust anybody, how will you trust? So the argument that nurturance, or all forms of nurturance, how you grow up, is what determines your future, that's one argument, and the other argument is nature. Now the latest thinking is it's both. It's how you were born, with the chemistry you brought in, all your jelly beans, brought into the playground of life, and how you're equipped, because I know people who came from the nicest childhoods, but they're still bananas. You know, and I know other people who come from the most miserable childhoods, and they're very well balanced. So it's both. Now, if we learned something about our chromosomes, we learned that there is a chromosome, chromosome number 13, which, if you have the alleles, are like the different strands of the chromosome. If you are somebody who has shorter strands, then you have a higher tendency to react to stress in a way that's negative than if you have longer alleles. Oh my gosh almighty. You mean we're going down inside the chromosomes and we're saying the way you're born, it's like everybody has these chromosomes, and chromosome number 13, if you have 13 and it's got short alleles, you're going to be less stress resilient than if you have longer chromosomes, longer alleles in the chromosome. Tough stuff. I mean, who's going to blame me? Who's to blame? Hey, go back to the jelly bean guy, you know? Hey, why didn't you give me some long alleles here? What are you doing? Don't cut out those. All right. Well, one of the determinants, or one of the criteria for being relatively well balanced is how you react to stress. Yep, stress is a very, very important part of our lives. I talked about it. I think stress is a part of life. How you react to stress is not so, shows you where you stand. Some people like to get stressed before they do something, you know. They like to get, it's like foreplay. You know, stress is like foreplay. You stress me up, and then by the time I release, I feel even better. Or it helps build my excitement. Other people, like you could see very often, if somebody who's doing a radio or a TV show, or somebody who's a dancer or a singer, they make themselves nervous beforehand. Before they go on stage, they may have done this a million times, but they make themselves nervous. It's almost like they're revving themselves up. They use stress for their productivity. But other people get crippled by stress. They just can't handle it. So our question becomes, if you wanted to know if your past and your future are connected, let's find out the following, all right? Is your past nurturance, and is what you're born with chemically, going to determine, or are they going to determine who you are in the future? Well, we've known an awful lot. We've learned a tremendous lot about chemistry. We've learned that you could change your chemistry. We've learned through nutrition, diet, and exercise, and a number of other things we do with our bodies that we can somehow restore balance where there might have been an early imbalance. So if you have a tendency to be overweight like families do, or if you have a history of migraine, or you have a history of, you know, whatever it is that's passed down in your family, right, you have now ways to try to alter that somewhat, that predisposition. So we've learned a lot about nutrition over the last 40 years. Nutrition, diet, that kind of stuff. So we could react, we could change, or we could alter the jelly bean beginning. But then there's this other part about nurturance. Can you change the future of the attitudes that you develop from early childhood? That's where our question is today. Are you doomed to just repeat history? What are the different things that we look for in ourselves and in other people? You know, nowadays with internet dating, there are a lot of people who are trying to go on the internet and they meet somebody for the first time and they try to figure out, is this person going to be okay? Is this person going to be somebody who I can trust and be with, or I may want to spend a little time with? So that's a question, and you ask yourself the question, what kind of person is this other person? And you start writing to them email. What are you looking to know? You're looking to know how they sound. How do they sound about their lives? If somebody gets on and they're a blaming kind of person and they blame everybody, I mean, one of the things you could tell is what's their mood or temperament. Are they negative or are they positive? You could tell that, right? When you meet people for the first time, if somebody introduces you, and you introduce, I met someone the other day, I was in just passing, I was at a gas station, and a guy pulls up next to me, and I said, beautiful day, isn't it? And he said, yeah, he said, but it's going to rain. I mean, he was just, this is Mr. Doom, you know, you could tell. He just, no matter what you were going to tell him, he was going to find a negative in it somewhere. I understood, I was being friendly, but I said to myself, okay, not my kind of guy. I understand. So what are the different things about yourself? What is your mood? Is your mood positive or negative? And is your mood positive or negative because you're carrying around the weight on your shoulders of the world? Why would anybody be negative? Why? Are you sick? Are you carrying, you know, do you have a fatal disease? You know, why? What's that negativity all about? When you see extremely negative people who can't stop but spilling out their negativity, you're seeing somebody who is damaged. They're damaged by something. It could be damaged by life, damaged by what they're carrying inside them. It could be damaged by illness. But it clearly shows you this person is carrying weight on their shoulders. What other kind of things do you listen for with people? Not only negativity. You listen to boundaries. What kind of boundaries does the person have? Do they have a feeling of your boundaries and their boundaries? When you try to pull away, do they push too closely towards you? When you try to pull away, when they try to pull away, do you find them running away because they have no boundaries? So boundaries are one. We have other things that we try to determine about mood. We want to know about people's what they call repetition compulsions. Are they repeating the same pattern over and over again? So you ask them about things like their past relationships. You ask them. Now, here's the assumption. The assumption is that when you're meeting people, if you are the person who feels well-balanced, as everybody feels well-balanced, very few people will say, I'm crazy. You know, I'm whacked out, I'm disturbed. Nobody will say that. Rarely will people say it. So most people feel that they are the sane ones, and it's the other guy who's not so sane. So when you try to determine what the other guy is doing and how you are, how they are reacting to you. The question you ask yourself is, what's wrong with this person? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Not what's wrong with me. So let's say you meet somebody for the first time. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. You meet somebody for the first time, and they show that they are very dependent. Now, if you're afraid of somebody being dependent, you're going to judge them as being dependent. And you're going to say, oh, that's not my kind of person because that person's too dependent. But you see, at the same time, you're seeing your own fear of it. So we're seeing two sides, their dependency and your fear of it. You may say, you know, I don't want to be with somebody who's that way, but not out of fear. There are people who have these aversive reactions. And here's what I'll prove to you. Whenever somebody rejects someone else, they're rejecting two things. Number one, a corresponding part of themselves, and the opposite of themselves, which I'll kind of prove to you. I'll kind of show you as we do some phone calls today. So today I want to take your telephone calls. And I'm going to ask you the following thing. When you meet people, when you encounter people for the first time, what do you pay attention to? What do you pay attention to, and how do you judge a person? How do you evaluate a person? Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. I want to take your calls because we don't get many opportunities to take phone calls. The last few programs we've been doing, we've been just going straight through the day. But the few times that we get a little open space here, I like to get your voices in here. So the question is, when you are meeting people for the first time, what is it that you are looking at? And here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to say, if you call in, I want you to expect that I'm going to turn the conversation to you, not just about the person, because I can't talk about people I haven't met. But when you call in, I'm going to ask you about yourself in reaction to things. I want to show you where your sensitivities come from, because what kind of sensitivities do you have? You know, are there certain kind of people you just can't get along with? And we'll try to prove, where does that come from in you? Because the bottom line is, unless you're going to have a very serious, one-to-one, long-term relationship with somebody, you can love anybody. You can just love anybody, because people are people. Mostly people are people doing the best they can. Mostly people are kind of struggling out of their early childhoods and whatever weight they're carrying. And people are struggling, but they're okay. 212-209-2900.
Tim and Honey Rock and John queued up.
Okay, let's take one of the callers. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there, is this Tim?
Yeah.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. Well, I'll just jump in and say that I notice often, like, the one of the few things that I do notice is if people fidget with their hands. That's about it. Like, that's one of the things that I actually notice, and I'm like, I wonder why they're doing that.
Okay, now, Tim, are you generally a peaceful guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You like peacefulness, don't you?
Love it.
You love, not only like, but love it. You look for something that could help you feel, correspond with your calmness. Like, I was going through the park today. I was going through Central Park today, and I saw a man sitting in a meadow. And he was sitting in a meadow cross-legged, and I saw he had his fingers held in a typical position with his thumb and forefinger, and I could see that he was meditating. And I said, wow, that man has a spot of calm. And he has a place of calm all around him. And even though there were a couple of dogs nearby off the leashes, it didn't bother him. He was in his calm place. You're that kind of guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, I know you do. Ask me how I know.
How do you know?
How do I know? Well, you see, your sensitivity is a sensitivity to nervousness. And nervousness is invasive to your calmness. And I guarantee you, as a kid, you just got to help me out with this, Tim. When you were little, was it hard to find a safe place?
Yeah, I was the youngest, so...
Nothing is safe when you're the youngest.
So, there was a whole lot of horseplay.
And that horseplay used to just get on your nerves and get on your nerves and get on your nerves. Did you ever find a private spot in the house where nobody could come and get you besides the bathroom?
Yeah, we had a yard, so I just run to the very edge of it where there was a creek and sit on a stump or something.
All right, so there you are, Tim. You're a man who spent an early childhood being invaded by other kids, by your siblings. You couldn't hold yourself together. You couldn't find a safe place. You found a place with a creek. When you meet somebody who's a nervous type, you wonder to yourself, are they going to cross over and are they going to invade my quiet? And that's it. So we're showing not only a preference for quiet, but that you're still recovering from that early childhood by the creek. Still, you're still getting over it. And eventually you'll meet people and their nervousness won't bother you as much. Does that sound interesting?
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Everything that you've said since, like, I don't know, half an hour ago that I started listening is super interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, me and my friends debate back and forth about nature and nurture all the time. Uh-huh. And this is really eye-opening.
Sure. Fun. And your sensitivity to this over time, how old are you now, around 30?
26, yeah.
26. And so at this point, you're just learning it. You're just getting it. And at one point, you're going to say to yourself, okay, now let me ask you, how are you with children?
I'm incredibly well with children.
So you don't mind their energy?
No,
I love it. But you do mind the energy of an adult who could invade your space. You will eventually, I promise you, see almost everybody the same way you see the children.
And yeah, it's like you said, yeah. Well, you can love anybody, pretty much.
Anybody.
Like, they're special, they are.
Yeah, and but you keep in mind that they're not wrong for being nervous. You're very sensitive to nervousness, and that's the way you see it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Great. Well, I'm going to keep listening. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Honey, hi.
Hi. I'm sorry.
Yeah, your name is Honey?
Honey Rock.
Honey Rock, hi there.
Hi. I think the first thing I notice about people when I meet them, usually I listen to what they say, but I also listen to the tone that they use, and I watch their facial expressions a lot.
Very good. Very good. Wow. Wow, honey. And did you grow up with an alcoholic parent?
Oh, my God. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I can hear. I can
How
hear.
How did you pick that up, though?
Well, you see, some people have to be more sensitive to gestures, tips and hints than other people. In your family, again, there was no safety. So when you saw, you could actually just tell from gestures whether you were safe or not. And sometimes you must have run and just hid out so you wouldn't be around anybody. Is that true?
I did avoid confrontation. Yeah. I think I still do that now in life.
Sure, sure. But it's kind of interesting because there are two parts of you. One part of you is very solid, another part of you is very sweet. But there's only a certain level that people can't get through to you. You know, you could be very sweet with people, but when you get scared by people, they can't touch you because you're solid. Is that right?
Correct.
That's like your name. Honey, Rock. You're both.
Very true, very true.
So this, when you're looking at gestures and you're seeing people's gestures, it's a little throwback to your sensitivity. Because, you know, if you ran into somebody with a nervous tick, you know, you might be interpreting that as something that will tell you there's aggression, or it will also tell you that it will also remind you that you're very sensitive to gestures. And both are true. Both, you've learned to read people. That's one.
We have John, Lucia, and
John. The other is that you are...
many people are calling.
That you are sensitive. And this sensitivity, eventually, you'll get over. How old are you now?
31.
Yeah, sure. You got plenty of time. By the time you're 33, it'll change. By the time you're 33, you're going to open your heart a little more. Because I know all honey rocks change at 33. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's get another caller. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. DeMille.
Hi there.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Your name is?
John.
Hello, John. What I'm talking about is touching you in some way, huh?
Yeah, most definitely. I just left my daughter, who I called and told her to listen to you, and I had no idea I was going to be on.
Huh.
So I don't know if she's listening. I kind of
Well, listen, just in case she is listening, because here's the thing. We have about 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But in case your daughter is listening, John, what is it that you want her to hear? What is it that you want her to understand? And what do you want to convey to her? Talk to her as if she was listening to it right now. And if she's not listening to it, we could always get you a recording of the program.
Okay, I appreciate that. I love her so much, but she's headed down a road that's going to take her.
Okay, so now what I want you to do, instead of talking about her,
okay,
talk directly. Say, honey, whatever her name is, say, I love you very much.
Yeah, I do. Kali, I love you very much.
And I am frightened.
I'm frightened, and I made mistakes in my life, And I'm grateful to God that he told me to talk about my mistakes instead of yours so that you could listen more. Maybe you opened more. She brought me a Pepsi, and I didn't ask for it. So to me, that just is such a simple gesture to me that she's trying.
It's a big deal.
I had to leave her in a place where I didn't want to leave her, but she chose to stay there. And I told her, you call me tonight, I'll talk to you. Tomorrow I'll come back, and we'll go out, and we'll see a movie, and we'll talk.
Okay, so what you're saying, John, you're saying, Kelly, honey, I am sorry for my past. I'm sorry for the mistakes I made. Please bear with me, and please try with me, because I got a Pepsi for you, just like you got a Pepsi for me, and it really, really means a lot to me.
Yeah, it does. And I love her so much, and I just want her to hang in there with me, because I'm 50, and I'm still learning, and I want her to avoid the mistakes that I made, and I want you to have a happy life. I want you to have a job, and I want you to take vacations and have a full life. That's what I want for you, baby. I love you so much.
It's very difficult. Very, very difficult, you know, and can I give you one small suggestion?
Yes.
Use her name more often and try never to use the word baby.
Yes.
With her. It might help her a great deal. It might be of great help to her, John, okay?
I'll remember that, sir.
Okay, John, thanks a lot for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Okay, sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Oh, it's so hard, but you know, we can see. Our phones are lit. We have lots of people on the line. We're going to take a break, and if you happen to get dropped because of the telephone company, they drop you after you stay in line for too long waiting, just call right back, okay? We're going to try to take you. What kind of decisions do we ever make? It's always a question. So let's bring you a little music today. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. This is Armand DeMille. Here's a little something for you to help you out. A little old Benny Goodman doing music. Thank you.
answer any of the new cases, I will hit the dump button and then immediately go to the next call.
Good. Benny Goodman, you're listening to from the old Benny Goodman Sextet. True amazing talent. And you know, part of the beauty of that is when you listen, you're hearing collaboration. You know, people vary in their capacity for intimacy. Some of that variation is due to, like we're saying, nature, endowment, and some of it is due to life experience. In general, early traumas make it harder to develop deep and constant affiliations later in life. But mastery of stress, and then added to that some good experiences, they can help ameliorate fears that traumas will be repeated. You just got to eventually get over the fact that what happened once is going to happen again. And you learn to trust. It takes time. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We've been asking some questions about how your past affects your future and what you're sensitive to when you meet people. And we've gotten, our phones have been off the hook since you've called in. Since we started the show, 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello there, you're on the air. I know that person must be there. Maybe they waited too long. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, there you are.
Armand.
Pop. Yes.
Love your music.
Thank you. You like Benny Goodman.
All right. I like all your music.
What's your name?
My name's Tom.
Tom?
Yes, it is.
Hiya, Tom. What do you think of the program today? Are you there, Tom, or are we losing you? Oh. I think we're going to have to go to another call if something happened. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, let's take another call.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Your name is?
My name is Maureen.
Hello, Maureen.
Hello. I'm calling because when I first come across people in everyday life, I'm very much affected by smell.
Boy, that's a great thing.
Yeah,
let's talk about
that.
Let's talk about that. You know, you got two smellers sitting right here. You know, Stephanie Dombra and I are both, boy, we could, our scent determines a great deal, right, Steph?
Oh, yeah.
But tell me about it. Tell me about you, about smell. What kind of smells touch you?
Well, you mean what do I like and what don't I like?
Yes.
I don't like body odor. It tends to turn me off. Not that I don't like the person because of the body odor, but I think it says a lot about a person. It says how, you know, how they...
And Aquila.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
Yeah,
go on. It tells a lot about a person, you know, how they, their cleanliness.
All right, that's what you may think it tells you, but we're going to learn more about that. What other smells do you find offensive?
Mostly body odor, those kinds of things. Everything else.
How about the smell of, do you like the smell of perfume?
Yeah.
Do you like the smell of cooking?
Yes.
Do you like the smell of garlic?
Yes.
So if somebody has no body odor, but the smell of garlic, that's okay?
Yeah.
It's like kissing a pizza.
Well, you mean if I had to kiss them?
Well, what if you had to kiss them?
I don't know. If I liked them enough, I'd deal with it, yeah.
Yeah, I hear. So yeah. Your sensitivity to smell kind of, in some way, it bothers you a little, doesn't it? Because other people are not as sensitive as you are.
Yeah, that's right.
It does bother you. All right, so let's find, where do you think the root of that comes from?
That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah, good. So let's look at it.
Yeah.
Let's look at it. Where in your background did you have somebody who's a sweaty, aggressive person?
Sweaty and aggressive.
Yeah, who would that be?
I don't think I've had anybody that's sweaty aggressive. I have a couple of friends, very close friends, that, you know, I'm not going to give up the friendship, but I've tried to tell them about the body odor thing and being clean.
And they don't
seem to care much.
The cleanliness comes from a certain place. But I'm going to ask you another question. Do you remember what it was like to hug your mom?
Great. Wonderful.
Wonderful,
beautiful.
Right? What does she smell like?
Well, she's been gone a long time.
Yeah.
She died when she was 45 of lung cancer. But,
wow. So you miss her, don't you?
Sure. I don't remember her smell, but it wasn't anything that struck my, consciousness that would turn me off towards my mom, no.
And what about your dad? What was it like to hug him?
My father, he was not very affectionate, but, you know, again, he was a businessman, a banker. He put on his deodorant. You know, I never experienced bad smell from him.
So safety comes from clean-smelling, sweet-smelling people. And I will say to you that there are people like you, you know, and who are very, very sensitive. And there is something about the smell of body odor that sometimes tells you chemically it's just not right. Sometimes
right.
It says that to you. Now, yet I know other people who love the smell of another person's body odor.
Mm-hmm.
They love the smell of sweat.
That's right.
And your sensitivity is that it's just, you know, the judgment is, oh, I just want somebody to be clean. And maybe organically that's true. But, maybe it reflects other stuff. Maybe it reflects that you really miss something that was a certain kind of smell that was the only one that made you feel safe in life. Like your mom. Did your mom smoke?
Yeah, that's what killed her.
How did you feel about that smell?
I wasn't around her when he smoked. I used to take her cigarettes and throw them out. When I was little, yeah.
So what a thing, huh? What a thing to grow up with a mom, to be throwing away your mother's cigarettes and then have her die and you love her so much. That must have impacted you in some way.
Well, yeah, you know, it was very, very, very horrible when she left. But there were good parts about it, too, Armand. I don't know, you know, I don't think that has anything to do with this, you know, anything I loved.
Sure.
There was good and bad in everything, you know that. So I don't know. You know, I smell a man like my landlord. He's got that hard-working smell. That's one thing. I have no problem with that. It's just that as far as if anybody's going to be, I'm going to be intimate with, that person better smell good.
And have you had somebody who could stay consistently smelling good as your mate?
Yes, but he turned out to be a son of a gun. So.
So it good smelling does not necessarily determine good personality.
That's true.
I understand. Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Akila from Brooklyn.
Hello, Akila.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Now, the question is, what am I looking for that I don't like?
Okay, how about that?
How about that?
How about that question?
Okay, I'm looking to see whether a person is, like, self-sufficient or not. Like, if they have, like, I like a range of looks. I like a range, like, smells don't bother me, looks don't bother me. But once the conversation goes on to I don't have a job or if I don't have a car or if they don't have what I have, then it makes me nervous.
Right, so you have a feeling that if you have somebody who is not self-sufficient, they're going to try to take away something that you have that you've worked so hard for. You worry about that.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that happen, Akila?
All the time. I've never not had it happen.
Okay, now that's very odd, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that you are attracted initially to people who are inferior in some way by your own mind to you.
Right.
So you're attracted to people who are that way, and then you get to know them, and they start grabbing at your stuff, and then you got to get away.
Right.
Well, that seems like a repetition over and over again, huh?
Yeah.
That seems like the same game over and over again. With this program, the way you have it, you don't have to get close to anybody. Who blames you? You know, maybe you don't really want to get close. Maybe you just want to be independent. How's that?
Yes, that sounds like something.
Yeah, no, what about it? What about acknowledging that it's very possible that you just like people for a short term and that you really don't need to have anybody else because you could take care of yourself?
Yeah, okay, but it doesn't match the prototype of how I grew up. So.
No, what was the prototype of how you grew up?
Traditional mom, dad, and roles.
Yeah, but were they very happy, mom and dad?
Actually, they seem like they are.
Uh-huh. And that was the way you grew up, and you had these specific roles, but you had to be independent. Now, your mom and dad, they never tried to take anything of yours, did they?
No.
No. So you're a very independent person. And you just decided to go out there, and here's the question we have. The question we have is, if you met somebody who was self-sufficient, would you reject them automatically?
Hmm.
You know, or are you just attracted to people with a broken wing, people who are wounded? There are many people who are like that, you know. I remember once I met a man. And I said to him, so what was wrong with the woman who lived down the hallway from him who told him she was attracted to him? And he said, she doesn't need me. And I said, what's wrong with that? And he said to me, I won't go with anybody who doesn't need me. If they're as well off as I am, I won't go with them because I need somebody who's going to need me, because he needed to have an edge. You know? Mm. Now, one needs to know, Akilah, would you be attracted to somebody who didn't need you?
Yeah, you know, and the one time that, not the one time, but it just occurred, but then they didn't even live on this side of the world.
Right, so they live far away. Well, yeah. I tell you something, though, you're trying. Here's what we could tell, Akilah, you're trying. You may be bringing it in from the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're at least allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
Within a very short time, you're going to find somebody else who's going to say to you, hey, I don't need what you've got, but I've got what I've got, and I'd love to share it with you. And you at that point may say, okay, now I'm willing. It sounds like you're just coming around to that.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Thanks for affirming that.
You're welcome, Akilah. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're asking you what you look for in people, what you look for as a very positive, or what you look for that frightens you is the question. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Armand. This is Kim.
Hello, Kim.
How you doing?
Do you have a cold?
No, I don't.
Oh, then it must... Okay, then speak a little closer to the microphone, okay. If you do, telephone.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi. When I see people for the first time, I trust everybody. Nobody's going to hurt me. Everybody's going to do something good. I don't have any problems, and I'm too trusting, and the problem with that is I get taken advantage of.
And then what happens once they take advantage of you, Kim?
I don't get mad.
Yeah, okay, then what happens?
Sometimes I continue to go back and still be taken advantage of.
For a little while, and then what happens eventually?
It doesn't last, you're right.
Absolutely. So here's what we have as your racket, okay? If you don't mind, because I think you'll enjoy my saying it. Your racket is what they call, in some tame, you know, the Bambi syndrome. And I call it this because it means I'm an innocent. I am so innocent that you could do so much bad things to me, but I lay myself out there for you. And then when you hurt me, I'm going to move away from you. So it's almost like you are the real distrusting one because you're attracting people who would exploit people as innocent as you. And therefore, you always stay isolated. Now, some part of you believes, I am sure, that you want a serious relationship. But another part of you is very strong. And it says, I'm not going to settle down with anybody until I'm ready. Did you ever doubt whether or not you seriously want a relationship? Did you ever think that maybe you're better off just by yourself?
Not exactly. Everything you said is right on, but I think there's always also been discomfort of being by myself.
Yeah, so now, the question is, with yourself, Kim, what's the danger? Who is this Kim that you're afraid of being with? Who is this young woman, this young person, or this beautiful person that's banging on the inside of your chest and wants to meet you? Who is this person? And I tell you, you know, that you're running over to other people and saying to other people, here, I want to get together with you, I want to get together with you. The person you want to meet is Kim.
Exactly.
So you know what you need?
I don't know who I am.
You need a diet.
I do need a diet.
A diet. And a diet is that you need to feed yourself, Kim. You need to look for the nurturing hand to come from yourself for yourself. You need to take your time when you're alone and treasure it. You need to make, now make you a bet. Do you ever make dinner for yourself?
No.
No, never, right?
I just eat whatever.
Eat whatever's there, because I'm going to... Would you please make yourself a nice dinner? Would you please set a place table? A table okay. place? Would you please light a candle?
Right.
Would you please say hello to Kim? And I'm going to make you another... I'm going to make you one of the biggest recommendations I could make to a person. Okay. If you buy a candle, and I mean a candle, like about that's about 4 inches long, a plain white candle... And you put it between you and a mirror. And you just look at that person in the mirror and let that candle burn down and never take your eyes off the other person, that person, Kim, who's in that mirror. For 4 hours, that's all it'll take. As that candle burns lower and lower and lower, and as it burns lower, it's going to cast shadows upward. So you're going to see your face change. You're going to actually watch yourself age in front of your eyes. Because shadows, as the candle gets lower, you see your face aging. You will become so familiar with yourself that you could start talking to yourself and just be with yourself. And during that period of time, now when the candle gets all the way down to the bottom and the wick is kind of staying alive in a little pool of wax, don't quit. Just stay with it, because you'll see over and over again that flame is going to come back. And by the time it goes out, I guarantee you, Kim, you're going to fall asleep. And you're going to wake up refreshed.
Oh, that sounds scary.
Yeah.
To spend all that time with myself.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
But you think I would get to know myself if I did that?
Oh, I know for sure that if you just went through it, you'll have gone through it. You know what I mean? And you won't be afraid of being with yourself for that period of time.
Okay. I'll try that.
Thanks, Kim. Will you call us back and report?
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. You could also send me an email, because I know just as Kim is going to try it, there's probably about another 500 of you who are going to go get those candles right away and put them in front of you. Not votive candles. They have to be like plumber's candles.
Somebody's up and somebody's waiting.
Okay. A plumber's candle is a candle that you buy from the store. The plumbers use it. It's just like cheap wax candle. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Who is this?
This is Eddie.
Hello, Eddie.
How are you? I'm doing good. I like the topic. And I was I'm recently in a relationship with someone, and one of the things that I'm not enjoying from this person is I sense, you know, they're really intelligent, and they have a lot of credentials, and they're financially successful, and they have all these wonderful things, but I don't hear the sense of humility, which kind of like doesn't attract me, and I think that what I admire about people today is that. The sense of people being humble, not kind of running around, you know, blowing their own horns and saying that they got this and they done this and all this. And, you know, I like to observe how they're living rather than what they're kind of talking about.
So in other words, sometimes the words and the action and the way people talk, they're kind of tooting their own horn, but they kind of, the giveaway is when you see them and the way that they're living. And there's a part of you that is very sensitive to people who are just, you know, trying to puff themselves up and look more powerful than they really are. And there's a part of you that really enjoys the real people, the humble people, the smaller side of people, you know, the real part of people. And I understand that because, you know, grandiosity and narcissism, it's such a common thing.
Find
there
out,
is
I guess.
So many people. Just
we'll
let,
find out.
Studio, the studio mic is open just to let you know. Hello.
Okay.
No, I think I should be able to do it. I just have to remember where it goes.
Okay. Am I there still?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's all right.
Do you have opening music?
The other thing I wanted to mention was that you were talking about the smell aspect of... I remember I used to, you know, I attend a 12-step meeting on a regular basis, and there used to be a gentleman who used to come in. He used to have this tremendous odor about him, you know, and it was, most people would kind of shun away from this gentleman, and I always made it a point to reach out to him and give him a hug and welcome him. And, you know, it just was, like, very important that I do that. I thought that, you know, it was by just showing and demonstrating that action was more important for me than probably for him, because there was an uncomfortableness. And I realized that, for me, it was probably, I guess, you know, a little more identification with, like, just because I didn't, you know, I didn't fit into whatever it was I was supposed to fit into. I used to feel alienated and out of, and I don't know, it was just
let me ask you something just about your own family. How was your dad in the family?
Well, my dad, he was he was 43 years old, so he was, and he got sick when I was 10, so but he was extremely a noble type of character.
So you saw through his illness. You saw through his apparent illness, you know, he was sick. But you always found his beauty in the middle of that illness, in the middle of that appearance. Just like you did with the man that you saw. You said, you know, whoever you are, no matter how bad you look, I see your beauty.
Yes.
And I could see how that worked for you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Armand. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Such beautiful people. Oops. Let's see now. We're going to be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Bring you more good stuff. If you want to send me an email, it's armand@thepositivemind.com. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Leonard Peltier, Free the Cuban Five, 11 years of unjust incarceration.